Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Getting your day started, connecting faith to life. Back to Austin Hill in the Morning.
It's now 10 minutes past the hour. I am Austin Hill. Glad you're with us. What if you were to hear of a book entitled Raising Bully-Proof Kids? Wouldn't that sound like something you'd want to pick up, something you'd want to know about? Well, chances are you have heard of that book before. Its author is a gentleman named Paul Coughlin. He also heads up an organization called The Protectors. He's been with us on our program before, talking about protecting kids from bullies in their campus environments. But what if you were also to learn that bullying, while sometimes the word is misused, bullying actually happens in our adult relationships as well? On our guest line, once again, we welcome him back to the program to clear the air and give us some wisdom to us. Paul Coughlin from The Protectors. Paul, welcome back. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
It is great to be with you. Thank you.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. Do we sometimes in the adult world kind of misuse and maybe even overuse the term bully?
Yeah, it's to the point. We would do better to have a different name. Bullying stems from disdain and contempt toward another person. And it's not about conflict or misunderstanding, two people who can't get along. It's someone with superior power that uses it intentionally to harm another person over time and for no good reason. It's victimization without provocation. This poor kid, or in this case now, this adult, doesn't deserve it. Most bullies look for nice people to go after because a bully is not looking for a fight. A bully is looking to overwhelm, and nice people are easy to overwhelm. Nice Christians, in particular, are easy to overwhelm.
So, therefore, bullying as such, the term, does not apply to maybe a real aggressive competition on the court or on the playing field or even in the business marketplace. If people are on equal footing and they're competing aggressively, they may get nasty about it, but that's not necessarily bullying.
That's true. As I wrote for Fox News, I said the word should be removed from the sports page. One team does not bully another team. It just doesn't happen. It's really more interpersonal. They may smash another team. I'm a boys varsity soccer coach. We've won games 15-2, and it's not bullying. We didn't do it to intentionally harm the other team over time and for no good reason. We just beat them.
Your point's well taken. Now, that said, you have blazed a trail, Paul Coughlin, at least in my estimation, awakening people, and I would say especially Christians, but even in the broader culture, awakening people to the problem of true, authentic bullying on school campuses. But I also understand you're suggesting, and you used the term earlier, interpersonal. You're saying that adults can bully one another in interpersonal ways. Tell us about that.
Well, they do. I mean, I think as people are listening now, someone is coming to mind, in their life. Usually it's a family member, or it's a coworker. It could even be a neighbor. And these are people who use threats and accusations when you're around them. Now, some are better at it than others, but these are the people that once you leave their presence, you have found yourself kind of sucker punched psychologically. These are people who, and it took me a long time, Austin, to understand this. I am just not the kind of person who's going to go to a family gathering or social gathering with an accusation on my lips, ready to go and take a shot at someone. I just don't do that. Most people don't do that. Bullies do that on purpose. They are figuring out their opening shot against you before they ever get to you. It is intentional. It just didn't come off the cuff. They've probably been planning it for a long time. And that is how these people are. It's premeditated. They want to score some points off of you when you're in a social gathering. They want to make you feel uncomfortable. They want you to feel stupid. And they're going to do that if they have an opportunity. And most of us nice Christians, We have what I call the niceness doctrine. I wrote the book No More Christian Nice Guy because there's a big difference between being nice and being good. Most of us go into the world with a niceness doctrine, and that it goes like this. If I'm going to be nice to you, you owe it to be nice to me.
Right.
Now, most people play ball with that. Bullies don't. Bullies take niceness and even gentleness and kindness that you're a sucker, and they will turn it against you. They will take your niceness, in a family gathering, and they'll take your nice words, and they will just use them against you. They usually have pretty good verbal acumen, because most bullying it's verbal, it's not physical.
Mm-hmm.
People who continue with physical bullying, they end up in jail. So we're not talking about those people. We're talking about the people who do mostly verbal bullying. So they want to intentionally take a shot at you. And we actually have a very foolish approach toward them. The Bible tells us that only a fool shows their true feelings in certain situations. And what we do is we show our true feelings in those situations. We need to disguise how we feel and how we think. And we need to approach those people the same way we approach a corner in a car. There's three parts to a corner. There's the entry, the corner itself, and then there's the exit. I used to race bicycles, so cornering is really important. Otherwise, you end up with broken collarbones.
Sure.
And that's what we need to do. We need to look at our interaction with bullies. It's a three-part interaction, and if you handle those three parts well, you're going to come out the other side of it way different than you are currently doing it, which is usually miserable.
All right. Paul Coughlin, stand by. Let's talk about handling those things well as we continue. Paul Coughlin is my guest. Yes, he wrote the book about raising bully-proof kids, but he's giving us some insight about bullies among us in the adult population. 17 past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill.
Back to Austin Hill in the morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
Good morning, 19 past the hour. I'm Austin Hill. Glad you're with us. Paul Coughlin, he heads up a group called The Protectors. He counsels and consults schools really all over on the problem of bullying on school campuses. He's written a very eye-opening book called Raising Bully-Proof Kids. So where's the first place that the adult needs to start, Paul Coughlin, when it comes to examining our adult relationships and identifying the bullying problem and changing our ways?
Yeah, we owe everyone a base level of respect and dignity because they're made in the image of God. Even the jerks in our lives, we owe them some level of dignity and respect because they're made in the image of God, not because of the way they act.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't owe everyone the same treatment. We just don't. We don't treat an infant the same way we would treat a tyrant. And we're allowed to treat people differently, yet we're not allowed to do an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We're not allowed, and that's probably when Jesus was talking about such things. But I think what he was telling us, particularly with turn the other cheek, is first of all, being slapped on the face is not a mortal injury. It's an insult. And he's probably telling us that when someone insults you, do not respond in kind. Do not get into revenge. So what I'm talking here is not revenge. And at the same time, it's also not the niceness doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhere in the middle, which is the more healthy and probably biblical view. And we need to know that in the blacksmith of our soul, that this person is not with me. This person actually is working against me. And we need to know that and be convinced of that, because you don't treat those type of people the way you would treat intimates. We should only allow people who are healthy and life-affirming into our inner circle. These people do not fit that category, and let's not play games. They don't fit that category because they aren't in that category. They're another kind of person.
Right.
So we must know that they are actually against us when we are in their presence. And to handle them effectively, again, it's the entry, the encounter itself, and then the exit. When we find ourselves moving in their presence, usually it's in a room, usually that's someone's house or something like that, you need to enter the room with an air of confidence, not arrogance, but an air of confidence with a slight smile on your face, standing up straight, making eye contact with most people, and with the bully in your life, make eye contact, but don't make it long. Look at them, nod your deal, say something if you want to, but move past them if at all possible. You do not owe your bully candor. Do not give them personal information about your life, because they're going to ask. I guarantee it. They're going to go fishing when they see you. You do not owe your bully candor. Jesus only answers like 5 questions directly in all the Gospels. Most of the time he doesn't answer the question.
Right.
Most of the time he responds with a question of his own. And then he says to Pilate, are those your words or did someone give them to you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty powerful language right there. So Jesus didn't give everyone a candid answer, and neither do we owe a bully a candid answer. So enter with confidence. It helps to have a person by your side.
Right.
Confidence grows. Encourage grows with a person by your side. Okay, so you're entering the room with confidence. Before you didn't. You're all worried. Your eyes are darting around. This is how most people treat when they know they're going to be in the presence of a bully. And then the encounter itself, keep it brief. Do not answer long, long questions, and don't provide a long answer. One thing, and I've done this recently, by the way. I did this month with someone who was not in my corner, and I know it. And I answered a question that he said with, where did you get that information?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew that didn't work well for him, and I said it on purpose. But then here's the other thing. I abruptly ended the conversation. I said, excuse me. And I walked away to go talk to someone else. Now, most people think that's, I don't know, unchristian. There's nothing wrong with that at all. You're not dealing with an intimate, and you're certainly not dealing with someone who is in your corner. This person is working against you.
Mm-hmm.
So you show a basic level of respect, but then you move on. Do not, for whatever reason, targets feel that it's necessary to stay tethered to their bully. It's an odd thing. It probably has something to do maybe with codependency. Not exactly sure what it is.
Right.
But it's not right. Abruptly end and move on to something else. And if at all possible, you can turn your back as you walk away from that bully. It means a lot. It's something you didn't do before.
Yeah.
And then here's the other thing. Now we have a successful entry. We have a successful encounter. Leave early, if at all possible, if it is to your benefit. If you need to stay and it's to your benefit, well, then stay. But if you've already accomplished what you've set out to accomplish, go ahead and leave.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important. Bullies are going to want to take a second shot.
Yeah.
They've taken their first shot. It didn't work. And in fact, you've really perplexed them now because they've been able to get under your skin in previous encounters. They couldn't do it this time. And because now you have a game plan. It's important to be 2 steps ahead of your bully.
Right.
And they're not thinking you're 2 steps ahead. They're thinking you have fallen into their trap so many other times. You're slipping out from under their control. They're going to try to take another shot at you. If you can, exit gracefully and abruptly, if at all possible.
Mm-hmm.
Be a little different than you were before. And in many cases, they don't know what to do with that.
Paul Coughlin is the man who heads up a group called The Protectors. His book, one of them anyway, is entitled Raising Bullyproof Kids. He's offered us some insight as to how to deal with the authentic bullies in our lives as an adult. Paul, implicit in everything you're saying, and it points at it's explicit too, but part and parcel of what you're saying here is that our choice of the words we use, our choice to limit our words, our choice to not speak words at all at times, our physical gestures, our body language, our physical movement, all of that conveys something about us to the prospective bully, and it conveys to other people how we expect to be treated. Is that an accurate read of what you're getting at here?
I think you just came up with a maxim there that is absolutely spot on. Bullies, most of how we communicate, certainly in social settings, is with body language, nonverbal language. And bullies do not, contrary to what most of us think, they don't pick a fight with everyone. We kind of wonder, this person must be this way all the time. They're not. They're like the leader in the movie Whiplash. If you ever saw that movie, that is just a quintessential bully. Pushes around people, some people, but not others. In fact, it's very charming in front of other people. So they're looking for people who they're pretty sure they can get away with it. And if you think about it, and I'm going to go back to family because this is where it's usually most painful. Have you noticed that the bully in the family doesn't go after everyone? Think about it. There's certain people, in most cases, most of the time, they don't go after. Why? Because they're pretty sure they can't dominate that person, and that person's going to push back.
Right,
so they tend to leave that person alone, but they go after the others. So, for example, this month when I entered the room, I knew this person was going to be in there. I put a slight smile on my face. One thing you can do, too, is you just slightly drop your eyebrows when you see this person. You still have a smile on your face, but it's a very, it's a confident smile. You're not wide-eyed scared when you're looking at it, which is how you've been in the past. And you just give them a kind of a knowing smile. I know who you are, and I ain't playing your game anymore.
Right.
It makes a huge difference. Now, the problem is, Austin, most nice people just don't think they have it in them to do it. And you really do have to screw your courage on early. And you will be amazed how much power you have by saying nothing.
Yeah. All very important ideas. Paul Coughlin, we've got him on our network website at myfaithradio.com, reference to his website and his book as well. Paul, thank you. You are a voice of reason in troubled times, one of the few, and I look forward to, I hope you'll come back and join us again real soon as bully problems proliferate all around us.
They sure do. Thank you for your time. Thanks for having me.
28 past the hour from the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.